that said, most difficult times in the life of a church. And as I went down that list, we were going through three or four of those. And we're still going through three or four of those. We're not there yet. And our loan hasn't been approved yet. I mean, we believe it's going to be approved. We're just waiting right now to get that one phone call. But I want to tell you, I'm excited about the church because one of my focuses as your pastor is our church isn't about building buildings. It's not about building that building over there. Our church is about us and our relationship with God and our community and leading and sharing and helping people in Salida discover God. It's about being a mature Christian and growing in Christ. And that's what I'm excited about. You know, I feel more positive about many things in our church as I look around in this last couple of months. I see God just doing some awesome and wonderful things. I mean, some of the young people in our church stepping up, taking over the nursery, taking over the children's church and children's worship ministries, the gospel mission and going there. And, you know, I go there all the time, but I never do anything. I drive. Somebody else has got a call. Somebody has to go to the training. Somebody has to do all that stuff. And it's the young ones that are stepping. I see an exciting time in our church as the young ones have taken over the leadership. And it's exciting and it's thrilling and making sure our focus is on growing in Christ. And so that's what's exciting to me. But one of the problems is people can be in church their whole life. And maybe some of you can think of someone, maybe some of you have some Christian image in your mind of some Christian, and still be cranky, irritable, and rude. Anybody run into Christians like that? I mean, they've been a Christian their whole life, and yet it's just, and you wonder about what happens? How does that happen? Why does that happen? And I want us to think about that this morning. And I'm not talking about how much Bible knowledge. You know, we talk about being a Christian, and many times it's how much Bible knowledge. Anybody watching the new Bible Challenge show on TV, you know, with Jeff Foxworthy? We're watching, Laura and I are watching. We got one recorded. We're going to watch it last night, but we had company and we didn't get to watch, so we're going to watch it today. And, you know, but is that how you measure Christian maturity, by how much Bible knowledge? You know, how big was Noah's Ark? You know, what was the dimensions of it? Come on, anybody know? How about this one? How many days in the wilderness? Or how many years in the wilderness? Oh, you even know before I even finished the question, huh? Yeah, Moses. Okay, you guys are good. I could have tricked you. You know, but that's not what maturity is about. It's not about how much Bible knowledge you have. It's about how much are you like Christ. I want you to look at this verse because I want you to go this. God designed us to grow. If you have a child that's not growing, you're going to take that child to the doctor. I remember watching Jeremiah grow up. You know, Jeremiah was like this, and Jeremiah was like this, and Jeremiah was like this, and Jeremiah was like this. That was Jeremiah. But then in 1 year, he went from here to here. He grew like 6 inches, and just overnight. You know, but it's kind of like, is he ever going to grow up? You know, and you worry about stuff like that. But do we worry about our spiritual maturity? Because God designed us to grow. God wants us to grow. He wants you to grow. Here's a statement. Listen to this. You are as close to God as you choose to be. If you do not like your relationship with God, there's only one person to blame, and it's not God. Well, so that leaves who? See, God wants us to grow. He desires us to grow. Look at the scripture here. We are not meant to remain as children at the mercy of every chance wind of teaching and the jockeying of men who are experts in the craft presentations of lies. But we are meant to hold firmly to the truth of love and to grow up in every way into Christ the head. God wants us to grow. He wants us to grow up. Too many of us, and as a pastor, I'm going to be honest with you, I've seen people who have been Christians 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years and immature. And I've seen Christians who just get started and they start out like a ball of fire and they take off. It's not measured by how many years you've been a Christian. Maturity isn't, well, I've been a Christian a long time. I had this discussion one time with an individual. He was older than me and believed he was a Christian with more maturity than me because he was older than me. He had been a Christian 2 years. And I'm not saying going to college and all that, but I had been a Christian for several years, 15 years at that time. And he thought, well, I know more. I'm the elder. Because he had he was older. How do you measure Christianity? How do we measure our maturity in Christ? Have you ever thought about that? I wrestled with that for a long time. How do I know I'm maturing as Christ? What tool can I use? And I wrestled with that. How do I determine? And I define, what does it mean to be a Christian? Well, it means to be like Christ. So if I'm growing like Christ, I'm growing. Well, what does that mean? What does Christ look like? So here's a scripture that nailed it down for me. And I shared this several years ago. I'm going to share it again. Look at the scripture. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. I began several years ago to define mature Christianity by these 9 qualities. Because I believe these define Jesus Christ. I believe, what did Jesus look like? Jesus looked like love. Jesus looked like joy. Jesus looked like peace, patience, goodness, kindness. Go down the 9. And so I began to define that, because it's easy to say I'm being like Christ when I don't have anything to measure it to. Jesus say, I'm looking like Christ when it, what does Christ look like? But now when I define Christ as this, if you know back to that verse, if you look at that verse, just kind of glance up that verse we read earlier. It says, listen, and to grow up in every way into Christ the head. Grow up like Christ. Not grow up in Bible knowledge. Not grow up and attend church every Sunday so you become a Christian by attendance. But by these qualities. And so I want to challenge you, as I challenged myself several years ago, I rated myself on a scale of 1 to 10. It's on your paper. All right? Now, get your pencil. Get your little notes out there. And I want you to look at this. I want to ask you, as you look at this, rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10. How loving are you? Neighbors, coworkers, family members that tweak you? How loving are you? Would they say you're a loving person? I had the young adults in this church rate me one time on all of these qualities. I'm going to challenge you. I did this several years ago. How about how joyful are you? This is really a hard time to be joyful, isn't it? With the economy like it is and the job market like it is, it's hard to be joyful right now. But how joyful are you? Paul says, rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice. How joyful are you? If you're on a scale of 1 to 10, how about peace? Are you a peacemaker or, I don't know, patience? That's a nice battle for me. Kindness? How do you rate kindness? How do you rate yourself in goodness? Faith. Gentleness. Self-control for me is a really nice one because I'm a control freak, so that one really works out well. I want you to think about, how do you rate yourself? Are you growing in Christ? You know, because what I shared when I did this several years ago is, you know what? We become satisfied. I become satisfied with my lack of patience. That's just who I am. I just struggle with patience. I just struggle, you know, that's just me. I'm always going to be a 4. I'll be a 4. And I'll be satisfied. Is that really growing in Christ? See, and so it kind of got me to think about this. I want you to think about, are you growing in Christ? I want you, yes or no? You got to put a check mark. I'm beating you up this morning, okay? Because I want you to do this. Because this is an exciting time. I really believe we're ready to step into our church. I've never felt better about getting our loan and stepping into our church than I do right now, because I think we're ready. I think spiritually our church is getting and is on the verge of some greatness spiritually, not just the building wise. I'm talking spiritually, and it's exciting. But are we ready? Are we ready? Is God forming us? Are we maturing in Christ? Am I closer to God than I was yesterday? Am I closer to God? Anybody here ever have your kids? Some of you who are raising kids, you ever mark your wall? You know, you mark the wall with a pencil and watch the kid grow up. You mark the wall again. You got pencil marks on your door. Remember the door frame? Anybody ever do that, the door frame besides me? You know, watch your kids. Well, that's kind of what I want this to be. I kind of want this to be your door frame. You know, to kind of say, this is where I'm at today. And next year, next week, next month. And are we growing? Am I growing? Am I getting closer to God? I want to be. I'd like to be. But am I? Am I becoming more like Christ? Look at the scripture right here. I love this passage. Oh, here's all these scales. I should have put those up earlier. I think a 1 to 10 scale is pretty good. But look at this next scripture. Are you growing spiritually? And then finally the scripture. Man, we're moving right along, aren't we? My Father is glorified in this, that you produce much fruit, prove to be my disciples. Are you producing the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness? There's 9 of them. Are you producing this fruit? Are you becoming like Christ? You know, when the world sets out there, many of those outside the walls of the church, probably many of those sitting over there at the football game would say, I love Jesus, I like Jesus, I just don't know about the church. We need to be like the church. We need to be like Jesus. And so I want to check. But here's some myths. The problem is, we let things hinder us. And there's some myths about growing in Christ. There's some things that we just kind of assume. We kind of think they're kind of out there. And we think this is the way it is. And so I want to destroy like 5 myths real quick. There's more. And I just took 5 of these. And I want you to look at these real quick with me. 5 things that keep us from growing. 5 myths that stop me from becoming more like Christ. 5 myths that help me, prevent me from being more loving, more patient, more gentle, more goodness. 5 things that stop that. The first one, if you're looking at your outline, is this. Spiritual growth is automatic. Spiritual growth is automatic. Sometimes we feel, I become a Christian, I accept Jesus Christ, He gives me the Holy Spirit, I got everything I need. I'm done. You know, God fills me with His Spirit, and that means He fills me with all the answers. He fills me with all the love I need, all the joy I need, all the peace I need, all the patience I need. I am full of the Holy Spirit, so that's it. It's all automatic. Just accept Jesus Christ and everything takes care of itself. It doesn't work that way. Things are not automatic. Spiritual growth is not automatic. You have to do some things to make it happen. Look at the scripture here. About this, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food, for everyone who lives on the milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is as a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have the powers of discernment, trained to be constant practices to distinguish good from evil. Why don't you circle the word trained? If we're going to grow spiritually, it's not automatic. You got to train yourself. You got to equip yourself. You got to work at it if you want to grow spiritually. It's not going to be some magical wand. It's not some osmosis. You know, balance a Bible on your head and this is going to kind of flow right through into your head. It doesn't work that way. You have to work at being a Christian. I'm going to give you a word. I want you to write this word down somewhere. It's a word you might not appreciate. I don't think it's a bad word, but I don't think we appreciate the word. The word is commitment. All right? If you want to grow, you have to make a commitment. It's not going to be automatic. It's not just going to happen. If you want to get closer to God, you have to make a commitment. And most of us don't like making commitments. We don't. We'll find every excuse in the world not to make a commitment. But I want to challenge you, if we want to be more like Christ and you want to follow Christ, you need to make a commitment. You need to commit. I'm going to be as plain as I can. You need to commit to be at church. If you want to grow in Christ, you got to commit to being at church every Sunday. You know what's amazing to me now? Doing some research and reading, people consider themselves regular attenders in church if they do come to church twice a month. Regular to me means every week, all right? I don't know about you, but regular to me means every week. If I go twice, is that regular? It used to be 3 times. Just so you know that how much it's changed, 2 years ago it was 3 times a month you were considered regular. You know, one of these days it's going to be if I show up on Easter and Christmas, I'm regular. You need to make a commitment. If you want to grow in Christ, you need to make a commitment to being in church. And you'll see as we go through the message, I'll kind of share you why as we go through. But it's not because, well, Gary wants to see you in church. Yeah, I like to see you in church. I enjoy the fun, the fellowship, and the friendship we build. You need to be in a small group. You need to make a commitment to be in a small group. I'm going to tell you, you cannot grow in Christ if you're not in a small group. I don't care what you say. You will not grow in Christ if you're not in a small group. It's not going to happen. You need to make a commitment to be in a small group, to build some relationships. You need to make a commitment. You need to make a commitment to read your Bible. I'm going to read my Bible. It might be I'm going to read one verse a day. If that's what you got to do, just read one verse a day. That's not much. One chapter. But you got to make a commitment. I'm going to pray. I'm going to make a commitment. Most of us do this when it's convenient. Forget commitment. We want convenience when it's convenient. I've started exercise. I wanted to lose some weight. And I told you, I got this elliptic bike kind of thing. It kind of went through the church, just so you know. Somebody bought it. They passed it to somebody else, and they passed it to somebody. You know, I see these things advertised on TV. Somebody's making lots of money, you know, because they pass it on down. Now I got it. I'm using it. You know what's hard? It's like Wednesday morning. I had a 6 o'clock meeting, because what I usually do is I get up in the morning, and I kind of sit around and do a few little things. And then I get on this elliptic thing. I'm doing a whole 20 minutes, all right? But I'm committed to it. 20 minutes, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. But Wednesday morning, I had to get up at 6 at 5:30 because I had a meeting at 6 o'clock. And then I had a half a dozen things to do. And it's like I'm finally getting home. It's like 9:30 before I get a chance now. Man, I'm tired. Do I want to get on that thing now? It's 9:30, you know, it's after, you know, I'm usually doing by 8 o'clock. I want it done by 8, you know, or right around 8. You know, now it's 9:30, you know, am I going to get on it now? I already took a shower in the morning. I got to take another shower when I get off of it. You know, because I did. I took one at 5 in the morning so I can go out at 5:30. Now I got to take one if I get on the bike. But you know what? I'm committed. So guess what I did? I got on that thing and I did it. Yeah. I did it again. Then I had to get in the shower again because I didn't want you guys, you know, go to a home group stink and they might not appreciate it. And they were having good food that night. We had tacos. It was really good at home group. But I was committed to it. It's like I can find excuses. Well, I had to get up early and I've had to go to the hospital and make hospital visits and be there and pray with people. Then I got to go home and get on it again and take a shower again. It's like, man, it's inconvenient. It messes up my schedule, so I'm going to skip it this Wednesday. I'm going to skip it. I want to tell you, it's a commitment. You want to grow spiritually, it's going to take a commitment and not convenience. You're going to have to commit to it. I got to get up. I had a hard week. I partied all night Saturday night. Now I got to get up and go to church on Sunday morning. Yeah, glassy-eyed and all, show up at church. Yeah. But you got to make a commitment. Yeah, I worked hard all day, and man, I'm getting in the last minute, and let's grab something quick and go to home group. Yes. Not just convenience, it's a commitment. If you want to grow spiritually, it's not going to happen automatically. It's not going to be, God, fill me with your spirit. Now I got all the answers. The ark was 150 cubits long and 50 cubits wide. See, I got all the answers. Just automatic. That is the truth, though. You can read that yourself, Book of Genesis. Somewhere 8, 9, 10 chapter. Yeah. It doesn't happen automatically. All right. So I want to challenge you. Are you willing to make a commitment? If you want to grow spiritually, you want to get closer to God, are you willing to make a commitment? Can you give 5 minutes to reading the Bible every morning? Now, that's where it starts. Can you give 5 minutes to read your Bible? Can you give 30 minutes to read your Bible? Can you commit to that 1 hour Bible study every week? I'm going to join my group Tuesday night, Thursday night. I'm going to host a group. I'm going to open my house up, and I'm going to host a home group and let people come to my house and study the Bible. I'm committing. Are you willing to make a commitment to grow spiritually? If you look at your scale, love, joy, peace, patience, and you want to change those, are you willing to make a commitment? The truth is, if you look at your paper, I put it this way. I kind of spelled it out on your outline there. The truth is, growth is intentional. You have to do it. It's you have to make the decision. It's intentional. It's up to you. So the first myth we got to destroy is that spiritual maturity is automatic. It's not going to be automatic in your life. The second myth I want to look at this morning is spiritual maturity can occur instantly. That whiz, bang, it's done. It's instant. You become a Christian and instantly you got all the answers. You know, you can tell me the 12 sons of Isaac. Who was born first? Jacob or Esau? Yeah. Come on, that should have been instant. Not when you become a Christian, man, it's boom. It's instant, right? It doesn't happen instantly. Yeah. You sit there and watch that Bible challenge. Some of those questions are hard. I don't get them all right? I don't get them all. You know, and I've read the Bible numerous times and studied the Bible a lot, and I don't get them all. But there's no instant answer. It's not we live in an instant society. Everything's instant. Yeah. I love it. Instant mashed potatoes. Just pour it in water. Add the water. Yeah. You get mashed potatoes. Yeah. We live everything. But spiritual maturity is not going to happen instant. What's really interesting is to see Jesus and see how he worked this. I got a verse here. Jesus calls his disciples. He's walking along after he'd been with God, after he'd been baptized. He's walking along, and he sees a couple of fishermen, James and John and Peter and Andrew. And he sees these fishermen. And Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, he asks this question as he comes to them. Look at the scripture. Follow me, he told them, and I'll make you fishers of people. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Follow me. He just said, come and see. Come hang with me. Come be with me. See, and that's his first call. Just come and walk with me. Come and be with me. But then a few years later, look at what he tells them. And look what he says. Look at the scripture. Jesus said to them, if people want to follow me, they must give up the things they want. They must be willing to give up their lives daily and follow me. Now, if you have the King James or one of the Bibles I learned it in, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. It's really interesting. Jesus says, follow me, but as you follow him, the commitment gets harder and harder because now it's come, follow me, come, see. Now it's come and die. Come and die. You know, that's quite a challenge. I'll come and see, but I don't know if I'm ready to come and die. Maybe you're here this morning and it's come and see. Just come and see Jesus. Come and meet God. Come and see him. But if you've seen God already, you need to say, I'm ready to come and die. That's spiritual maturity. See, it's a process. It's not something that instantly happens. It's a process that it takes time. It takes effort. It takes work. But a lot of people, they search for everything. People, they'll search on TV for preachers on TV that will, oh, this is the one that I need to watch. They'll go to conferences. You know, because I just got to get this spiritual fix. You know, and they want something instant to happen to them. I was there and instantly I'm changed. I don't know about you, but it took some time for God to change everything in my life. But you know what? He hasn't changed everything yet. I'm not done yet. I've shared with you the battle about my language. I've shared that story how, you know, when I first became a Christian, I knew the words really well. You know, they would call them sailor words is what we called them back then, you know, that vocabulary. And I knew that vocabulary really well. And I can remember, I had been a Christian for all, but I can remember when I instantly remembered, I don't want to talk like that anymore. I could go show you where I was standing and I had been a Christian for a while when I said, I don't want to use those words anymore. I want to quit. It didn't happen instantly for me. You know, God didn't change my tongue. I tried. Yeah, but when you hit your finger with a hammer and you're used to saying things, it's kind of hard to change those words. They don't instantly change. But all of a sudden, that next time when I did it, all of a sudden it's like, man, I don't want to do that. Now, you know what? I couldn't explain why it happened. I don't know why I just said I don't want to do it. I think that's God working. See, it's not this instant thing that happens, and it's not something that we just have to. And here's something else I want to make sure you understand. We all progress differently at different paces. We're all at different stages. I want to ask you, some of you have raised your children. Some of you are babysitting kids or you've been around kids. Do every child walk at the same day They are 255 days old. It's time to walk. I mean, some kids will walk earlier. Some kids walk later. Spiritual maturity isn't everybody's on the same level. We're all at different places. But we're all in the process. We're all being transformed. We're all becoming more like Christ. But it's not instantaneous. It's not instantly. I'm a Christian, so my vocabulary's changed. I'll never say those words again. I'll never treat her that way. I'll never treat him that way. I'll never behave that way. I'll always have a good attitude. That's all changed instantly. It's a magic wand, like fairy princess, tink, tapped on the head. If you're like me, I'm not tapped with a wand. Sometimes I probably need a baseball bat. Anybody? Knock some sense into me sometimes. Because it's like, what am I doing? But we expect it to be. See, that's a myth. It's not instant. You're not going to grow spiritually instantly. Don't beat yourself up. Don't get frustrated. Just keep getting up and going. I have this rule for me. If I fall on my face, I know I'm going in the right way. If I fall on my face, I know I'm going the right direction. So don't beat yourself up. Just get up and go. Just get up and keep going. When Satan knocks you down, when Satan beats you up, when things go wrong, when things are happening, and you give in and you surrender and things you do that you just hated you did, get up, confess, and go on. That's a learning experience. And don't do it again. There, how's that? That's part of it. It's not instant. You're not going to grow instantly. So I put it this way. The truth, spiritual growth is incremental. You're going to move love one number at a time. You're going to move joy one number at a time. You're not going to jump from a 4 to a 10. That's what I want to, in patience, my desire would go 4, 10, I'm done. It don't work that way. It's incremental. It's one step at a time. You got to look at, there's a line here, and I'm going to cross that line. One step at a time. We lost the man that walked on the moon for the first time, and I grew up during the space race, and I always, this to me is a great illustration. You know, the first time we ever went up, is we just basically went up and went down in the ocean. That's the first guy that went up in the rocket went up and down. And that was a success. He went up, he went down. That was a success. Then he went up and they went around the world. Then they went up and they went around the moon. And they went up and landed on the moon. And walked on the moon. It was one step at a time. We got to look at our spiritual growth that way. It's incremental. It's one step at a time. So, are you ready to take? Last time I said you need to make a commitment. I'm going to say, what step do you need to take? What step do you need to take? What step do you need to take? So we got to look at the myth of it's not automatic. The myth is that it's not instantaneous. And the third myth, I put it this way: spiritual growth is not mystical. It's not some mystery out there that you got to figure it out. I can't figure it out. It's hidden. It's secret. It's hard to understand. It's, you know, we make it out here. It's a mystery out there. That spiritual maturity, it's just out there, and I don't know how to get there, and I don't know what I have to do. And we create this mystery about it that, well, you got the Holy Spirit. Anybody ever seen the Holy Spirit? No, you know. And, you know, can you feel it? Well, sometimes I feel, you know. And we have this mystery out here. And it's kind of like, well, God has this plan, but it's kind of hidden, and we don't understand it, and we can't figure it out. I want to tell you, that's a myth. Spiritual growth is no mystery. It's not some hidden secret out there. It's not something out there that we can't quite figure out what it is. It's not. Look at the scripture. I love the scripture. Look at what it says. But have nothing to do with irrelevant and silly myths. Rather, train yourself in godliness. Circle that word train again. You know, we come back to that word train again. I'll give you a word. It's called habits. If you want to grow spiritually, it's real simple. There's some habits that you have. It's not a mystery. It's not hard to figure out. It's not confusing. It's not some hidden thing out there that you got to kind of wander around and figure out. It is not. It's very practical. It's very real. and it's called habits. It's called the habit of going to church. It's called the habit of attending small group. It's called the habit of reading my Bible daily. It's called the habit of praying daily. That's what it's called. It's a habit. It's no secret. It's no mystery. It's nothing out here that you can't quite figure out. This vapor out here, I don't know what it is. Spiritual growth is simply a bunch of habits, a bunch of practices, a bunch of things you do. You know, I journal. I go to home group. I attend conferences. I listen to Christian music on the radio. What are some of the habits? Practical, everyday habits. That's how you grow. Now, if you feel you're not growing, what the question is, what habits do you have, or do you have any? If you're not closest to God as you want to be, and you're not in your relationship with God like you like right now, the question is, how are your habits? Not some mystery, not something to figure out. It's not hard. I'm going to tell you, the relationship with God is not hard. It's real simple. Go to church, go to home group, read your Bible, pray. You will grow in Christ. You will become love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. When you do those things, it can't help it. It happens. It's not automatic. It's not instantaneous. It's not some mystery. It's a commitment that takes work on the habits. And you become more like Jesus. And I need to. I mean, I'm not saying just you, but it's what I have to do. And what I need to do. So do you have habits that are helping you grow? You're as close to God as you choose to be. It's your choice. How are your habits? All right. What's another myth? Look at this next one. We got two more. Myth number four, spiritual growth is personal and private matter. Is a personal and private matter. We live in America, and America is a very individualistic nation. We're all about the individual. It's about all of us, and it's about me, myself, and I. We concentrate on the individual in America. Everything's individually made. You know, all these... anybody go on the internet? Anybody here ever surf the internet? Anybody? Nobody surfs the internet? Is everybody's arm broke? Oh, okay, now I see some arm. I thought I might have some broken arms in here or something. I didn't see any arms going. They have these little things they call cookies in the computer. And these cookies target you. So they know exactly what you're looking for, exactly what you like, you know. And it's really amazing. I'm sitting there looking at websites on the news, and these little boxes come up with Disney advertisements. Can you believe that? Now, why do those boxes come up, and the top banner come up? Disney movies, Disneyland, Disney World. You know, all these banners come up around my... Always Disney. I wonder why. Because somehow they stuffed a cookie in my computer that says, this guy likes Disney stuff. So they funnel me all those Disney advertisements. It's personalized. Well, I want to tell you something. Sometimes we treat our spiritual growth as it's personal. It's about me. I've heard this, and it breaks my heart. All I need is God. All I need is God. I got news for you. If all you need is God, you're in trouble. Because you will crash and burn. If it's just you and God against the world, you're in trouble. Let me share something with you. Did you know this? There are 58 things, more than 58 things, that you cannot do without somebody else in your life in the Bible. Over and over, the Bible tells us one another. It says, love one another. It says, pray for one another. It says, restore one another. It says, encourage one another. 58 times it says, and you can't do that by yourself. But we treat our relationship, it's my business. Maybe some of you here this morning, well, the preacher, I don't know why he's talking about this. It's my personal business, how close I am and if I'm growing. And I want to challenge you. We need others to grow. Why do you think, you know, and I keep beating it up this morning, you keep hearing me talk about it. Why do you think I talk about being in church and being in small group? It's not because, do I want to see a lot of people in church? Yes, I do. I'll be honest with you. But because I believe when you're in church, you're going to grow. I believe God can transform you. I believe it'll change the world. You know, we got an election coming up. There's an election coming up. I'm going to go vote. I guarantee you, I have not missed an election since I was 18 years old. I vote. But I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to change the world with my vote. But I can change the world with Jesus Christ. And I want to challenge us. It's not personal. It's about all of us. Look at the scripture here. Let us think about each other and help each other to show love and do good deeds. You should not stay away from the church meetings as some are doing, but you should meet together and encourage each other. Do this even more as you see the day coming. We need to be in church. We need our small group. I need my meeting on Wednesday night. I need my meeting on Tuesday night. I have a great time. I need those. I need that encouragement. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get beat up on Monday. Anybody been beat up on Mondays? Tuesdays? Anybody got that rotten person at work? Anybody got that negative neighbor? You know, that just... I need that Monday. I need that Tuesday. I need that Wednesday home group. I need that time. I keep beating up. You know, as your pastor, I said you need these three things. And it's about you. It's not about the church. It's about you. You need the church. You need a small group. And you need somebody who can say the hard things to you in life. We need relationships. That's who we are. That's who God made us to be. And we need to see that. See, it's a myth to think, well, I can sit at my house and read my Bible and watch TV preachers. To sit there at a hospital room. And I've shared with you, to sit there at the hospital room and somebody asked me, can you be a good Christian and not go to church? And we're sitting there. She's by herself. By herself, sitting there. Her husband, second time through heart surgery. And she's by herself. We're sitting over on the other side. There's a bunch of us. Somebody's having heart surgery. This husband. And we're sitting there and it's me. And two other people from the church sitting with this woman while they have heart surgery. We're just talking and sharing, being there with her, praying for him, praying for her. And the lady hears that conversation and she goes, do you need to go to church to be a good Christian? Well, matter of fact, yeah. You're sitting there alone. She's sitting there with a bunch of people. Does that make a difference? I think so. I mean, come on. It's a relationship. We need one another. I'm going to tell you, your spiritual growth isn't about you. We're going to do our 40-day study. I'm excited. I'm excited. It's going to be a great study. You need to get in a group. If you're not in one, you better get in one. Stephen's going to beat you up if you don't. Not physically, I hope. You're not going to do it physically, are you? Okay. But you need to get in a small group. For you, it's not about, I want to have a church with all these groups. I want to have a church full of people. Yeah, I do want that. But it's about you. It's about your growth. It's about your spiritual maturity. See, so I put it this way. The truth is, if you look at your outline, the truth is spiritual growth is relational. It's relational. You got to be in relationship. You thrive in those relationships. And the last myth I put down here, and I say this one for the end, spiritual maturity is measured by what you know. It's not measured, spiritual maturity is not measured by how much Bible knowledge you have. I don't care how many verses you can quote. I don't care how many Noahs you can name. Sauls, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's not about how much you know. It's about do you know Jesus? And are you growing like him? That's the challenge. Look at the scripture here. You are saved by grace through faith. That is not of yourselves, a gift of God. Not from works, so that no one can boast. For we are his creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in them. What are we supposed to do? That last verse, walk in them. Become like Christ. Filled with the fruit of the Spirit. How are we doing? See, I hope you see the circle I made. I started out with the fruit of the Spirit. I'm back to the fruit of the Spirit. Am I love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness? Is that developed in my life? Am I becoming more like Christ? Do others see Jesus in me? I wrote it down this way. I read this other day. It's not about creed and convictions. It includes conduct and character. It's not just about creed and convictions. It's about conduct and character. How many people have you heard? Maybe you've invited people to church. Maybe you shared with your family. Maybe this was you for years. It's just a bunch of church people, and they're just a bunch of hypocrites. They act one way on Sunday, and they do something else on Monday. The guy sits there on Monday at work, and man, the sermon was great. The preacher preached, and da-da-da-da-da, having coffee with you before work starts. Halfway through work, he's saying every other word. Come on. I mean, and you wonder why. Because are we becoming more like Christ? Now, we're going to slip. We're going to fall. We're going to make some poor choices. But am I becoming spiritually mature? Or am I satisfied? Am I comfortable? You know, I'm comfortable being a 4 on patience. You know, I'm comfortable being there. That's just who I am. And I'm comfortable being a 4 on patience. No, I'm not. It's easy to be comfortable. You know, I'm comfortable being a 6 on love. You know, I love most people. I love most people that are like me. I like those a whole lot. You know, I'm comfortable with that. I'm going to challenge you to get out of your comfort zone. Are you growing spiritually? It's not going to happen automatically. It's not going to happen instantly. It's no mystery. It's something that you got to figure out and try to put together. It's no mystery to it. It's not just your personal and private matters that you have to worry about. And it's not going to be measured by your knowledge. I'm going to ask you, are you bearing the fruit of the Spirit? Do your neighbors see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness? Do you co-workers see love, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness? Does that grocery store clerk who's taken all day to ring things up, that for some reason it's just not going well that day, does she see patience, goodness, kindness? Does that fast food place that never gets the order right, when you grab your order, you get home and you open the bag up and it's not the right stuff? Do they know patience, goodness, kindness? See, are we maturing like Christ? It's no mystery out there. It's not hard to figure out. I'm going to ask you this morning, are you willing to make a commitment? Are you willing to commit to grow, to build the habits, to be more like Christ? It's your choice. You're as close to God as you choose to be. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and for your truths, that you love us and that you care for us and that you watch over us, that you fill us with your Holy Spirit, which empowers us to produce the fruit. You know, as we're praying and all the eyes are closed and heads are bowed, maybe this morning there's some of those fruits that are really a battle for you, and you want me to pray for you. I don't know what it is. I share mine, and many of you know I battle patience. I really am. I'm a 4 on a good day. Maybe you want me to pray for you. If you want me to pray for you, you just lift up your arm, that I may pray that God will fill you with his Spirit. Just lift up your arm. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, I lift these who have raised their arm. They're raising their hearts, their life to you. They want to be filled afresh and anew by your Spirit, that they can produce the fruit of love, patience, peace, goodness, kindness, gentleness. You know, Lord, there's 9 qualities. I ask you to lay your hand upon them, to renew that Spirit-filled presence in their life, to encourage and strengthen them in this world that battles and draws down. Lord, speak to them in a special way this morning. Strengthen them so when they walk out of here, there's something special that's happened in their heart. And Lord, for all of us, help us walk in your ways, to seek your paths, to follow and serve you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's our practice as a church to give an invitation. Invitation's real simple. It's when I just stand here to pray with you. Maybe there's some things battling in your life. Maybe there's some things that are weighing on you. Maybe life has beat you up and you want somebody to pray with. That's what I'm here for, and that's why I'm here. I'm here to pray and to share with you, and this is your opportunity. Maybe you need to cross that line. You know, just so you know, you don't get the Holy Spirit for that fruit of the Spirit. It's not automatic either. You got to receive Jesus Christ to get that. Maybe you haven't crossed that line. I make it real simple every week. You got to reach a point in your life. It's simple. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come my life and take control. Maybe you need to make that decision. I don't know what God is saying, but this is God's time to speak to your heart. And I'm here to pray with you. I'm here to journey with you. I'm here to share with you. So I'm going to ask you to stand. And as we sing this song, you just come as the Spirit leads. So you stand and you come as the Spirit leads and as we sing.